What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Last about hour.
Oh, yeah?
Jay, Grant Wistrom stole your spot, but then vacated. They knew you were coming.
That's all right. We've been in meetings before, man, you know? As long as he ain't farting in the seat, we're all good.
You'd have to ask Bach and Farley about
that. Yeah, no. It's good.
You know what else is good, Jay?
What's that?
Meat from the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese.
That it is. They got four locations in Lincoln. 84th and Havelock, 30th and Yankee Hill, 85th and Andre Mass, Lesso, Cheney. 168th of Maple up there. No, it's grilling week, even though it's Christmas week. So if you're trying to get your prime rib on, they got you covered. If you're trying to...
Per my watch, it is 56 degrees. Grill during Christmas week, people. You can do it.
And on Christmas Day, I think it's going to be about 60.
Woo!
You can throw ribs on. You can get your pork butt, pulled pork. You can throw steaks on. You can do it all.
Playing on it, playing for it.
Oh, yeah.
Again, three Lincoln locations, one in Omaha. Daily specials as well. Go to themercadobutcher.com. Follow them on social media. To learn more, 402-464-5685 if you want to be a part of our show here on our Sartor Hamann Jewelers text line. Eric says, my man, Jay, hope you have a Merry Christmas.
I'm going to try to. Merry, merry, and happy, you know?
The best part is there's no and or no but there from Eric. Just a straight up.
He got a respectful comment in his heart. You know he does, you know?
Eric, we appreciate you. As always, thanks for chiming in and listening. Jay, I want to circle back on a conversation that we had about a week ago and then got addressed by Nebraska head coach Matt Rhule in his press conference on Friday. Yeah. He was asked about the idea of resetting and he really bristled at it. He wasn't a fan.
Yeah.
He had all sorts of comments about, you know, just because we're not Indiana doesn't mean we're not making progress. He went into the, well, if you guys would have known just how bad it was when we got here, some of the stuff I've had to do because someone else didn't do it, sure. Well, they didn't have a lot more appreciation.
Right.
And I think all of that is fair. It's on the table. It's a matter of perspective a lot of times. But since I think you and I were some of the first people, at least me, right, to bring it up, I talked about it with Tom Chattel after our Monday show as well about reset. I'm going to shout out Sam McEwen from the Omaha World Herald for, I think, doing a pretty good job of putting into words what it was I intended. What I did not intend to say was Nebraska needs to strip it down to the studs and start over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is a bunch of turnover. Maybe there are pieces in place. Maybe there aren't. But here's what Sam McEwen said in his weekly rewind. The Huskers don't need a program-wide reboot now, although on the offensive line, that's exactly what's going to happen. New techniques, new philosophies, new energy. Broadly, Rhule just needs exactly what we're seeing him do. A return to his roots. Development, taking clay and molding it with firm hands into aggressive, durable playmakers, guys who play with an edge and live in the moment outside narratives. Rhule built his brand and Temple and Baylor's success on development, particularly on defense. Toughness over talent. Heck, toughness as a talent in and of itself. That is a lot of what I was getting at. Nebraska can't afford to tear it all down to the studs. It's getting relatively close, you know, when you get a new defensive coordinator in.
No point in doing that, I think. I didn't really listen to the audio or whatever. I think people reset is kind of a hard word because reset means you're like blowing it up and like you start like a new coach just came in. I mean, obviously you just can't do that. Obviously you just signed an extension. You could reset your goals, right? You know, like what your, I guess, non-negotiable goals. You could reset what you. Your standards and I always like to say you adjust. I mean,
yeah,
you know, anytime that you don't reach your previous goals, aspirations, or expectations, and then you lose your quarterback, or eventually will, or your quarterback says he's going in the portal. Dylan even said he went in the portal, like personally.
I think so. And I think he had it on his story and then took it down. But he hasn't come out and said anything to the contrary.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much he's in the portal. So then when you lose that, your figure, you know, your face of your program very quickly, then, you know, quite natural people are like, okay, what are you going to do next? I mean, I think you can really, you know, have a smooth transition by knocking that, you know, maybe re-identifying what that you need out of that position. And the revenue sharing helps because you got a kind of somewhat of a salary cap, and then you can maybe, you know, up it everywhere else. And then you can kind of gain some traction by subtraction, you know, and it's not even a negative on Dylan. It's just, you know, like you said in his statement, Pete Thamel said, he wanted to go somewhere where we can get developed and get, and pretty much he wants to go somewhere to set him up for the pros.
There's that word again, development. Yeah. When I think reset, and again, this is why I think it's important to define terms and why I said everything I did and why I appreciate Sam's explainer as well, is when I say reset, Jay, I just mean take a deep breath. Where are we? What's going well and what's not? Because I do think Sam's right. You know, broadly, Rule just needs exactly what we're seeing him do, a return to his roots, development. If you're Matt Rule, I would love to know, do you think you have been the developmental program that you want to be? Not just behind the scenes, not just with guys that come in on the bottom of the roster and are better than they were in high school. Actual difference makers in Big Ten football. I would argue maybe not as many success stories as you would have liked. Some you can point to, but one resounding success in Emmett Johnson and bit players here and there. I get it. You're early on in a rebuild, right? If it was as bad as Matt Rule says, okay, you amplified, you augmented, you supported with a bunch of transfer portal additions. You have to in this day and age of college football and really college sports in general. But you can reset the narrative, the expectations, the climate around your program, not inside the building where it's got to be fourth and one every day, but for fans. When I say reset, just say, hey, we have a bunch of guys, and Sam laid this out in the article as well. Nebraska has, I believe he said, 14 offensive linemen who are either third-year redshirt sophomores, juniors, or seniors. That's a bunch of guys on the line that have been in your program for a while, and if they're not ready to go in year four, something's not working, which is maybe why, you know, Matt Rule made the switch at offensive line. But that's why I say, too, in the transfer portal, you can't ignore it. You have to dive into it. You can, but Matt Rule's done a lot of the one-year guys, the pick-and-pull one-year guys. I mean, you can think of a few exceptions of, you know, like a Ben Scott at center for 2 years. Andrew Marshall wound up being a two-year transfer as well, and sure, there are others. But wide receivers have been a bunch of one-year guys that haven't had eligibility. You hire coaches for a reason. Let them coach. You recruit guys for a reason. Let them get better and then get onto the field. That's what I want to see, because this is the last chance that Matt Rule might have at Nebraska with the security of an extension, with the reason slash excuse of new coordinator and two new line coaches to say, hey, this is our chance to see if what we're doing through 3 years is working. If it's working and the young guys that have grown up that you put on the field in 2026, you know, show you something, and against this tough schedule, they look like, oh yeah, this is going to be something next year. Cool. You were right. You stayed the course. Your developmental process is working. Now trust it. But if those young guys in year three or four are not ready to go, they don't hack it physically, they're not ready mentally, whatever it is, then you're like, oh, we got to change some stuff. Now our eyes are open. We know what it's going to take. And we still have a little bit of security with as long as Matt Rule's contract is, barring absolute cataclysm and disaster, Matt Rule will be the head coach at Nebraska for a few more years. But this is the last chance that he has, I think, to make that honest overview of his program. The last chance he has to see, hey, is what we're doing working? Because if it's not working again in 3 or 4 years when we ask this question next time, who knows what comes next?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more than just an, I mean, people think development is, and part of, you know, and that, you can be right and I can be right. We both can be wrong and both can kind of be in the middle too. So, I'm just telling you the honest to God truth. You know, sometimes as a coach, you know, what he does, and this has nothing to do with maybe what he's saying, but he goes pretty hard for his players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he kind of, you know, he tries to, you know, talk some life into him. And I do understand. I mean, you do have to do it. There's a lot of coaches at a lot of levels that don't do that, and they don't do it enough. And so I can totally respect that. But sometimes when you say that, the average, I guess, listener or fan, or in particular also media members, you know, then they say, well, then it's your fault if they don't become all Big Ten and all American. You will be more all Big Ten team or players on teams when you win.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's number one.
But you win by having more guys on those teams.
No.
The better your players are, the more you win, the more you guys get awards.
In theory, there's crappy players on the all Big Ten team. There's crappy players that really aren't that good at all American. That's why Heisman guys that win the Heisman can't play a lick in the league. They won the Heisman, but they can't play at the highest level. You just played at the second highest level, and you can't bust a grape at the highest level.
Okay, but is it Nebraska's job to get guys ready for the NFL, or is it Nebraska's job to win games at Nebraska? Well,
ideally, it's part of Nebraska's job. They're supposed to assist you. You get ready for the league by what you do.
In college, yes.
Yeah, what you do, mm-hmm. Day in and day out.
Yeah.
Your work habits, your study habits, how much you invest in this game of football.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
That's where I think you missed the point. And I'm not bagging on the players, but everybody think talk about development. And then, like, you're supposed to get a guy here, and then, like, it's one-sided. Development is, like, it's a relationship. This is a relationship with these dudes are in with football. You married to football. So if you let it down, you let your relationship with football down. And most likely, when you get in pressure situations or when you got to really be in a white-knuckle game, football lets you right down.
You can't be stepping out on football.
No, you just don't. If you don't invest in it and to make sacrifices for it, you ain't going to get nothing out of it. You might get a little something, right, when you play against, you know, Willie Lump Lump in Cupcake Cookie University. But when you're talking about where you say you want to go, that's a sacrifice. And it's a big sacrifice. It could be, and this is, you know, I guess you could say everybody needs to sacrifice, right? So it's time with your family. It's time on social media. It's time away from the video games. It's like when I don't feel like eating, I know I have to do it because it's going to be better for me when I play on Saturdays. It might be I have to hit every single goal that I need to or they set out for me in the weight room and then some because it'll pay off in the fall. It can't be like, oh, well, I'll get to it and I'll do it when I need to, like cramming for the test. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you might pass one test, right? Mm-hmm. But you ain't going to pass the final and right. You got 12 finals coming during the week. So it's a tricky situation to be in. You're known as developing. Developing players at Temple is different than developing players at Nebraska.
But you're not known for development right now.
No, that's what I'm saying. You're known for development, but developing players at Temple is different than developing players at Nebraska.
Yeah.
In the college football is totally different now. Mm-hmm. You used to go to college then. There's nowhere you could go unless you want to go down.
Yeah.
And because no kid wants to sit out a year.
Not anymore.
Right.
Dante Moore is the exception that proves the rule.
Well, back then.
Yeah.
I'm talking about back then.
Yeah.
You got to go down.
Right.
That's not appealing. Why wouldn't I just figure? So then you actually have more time to really develop. You know, the linemen, you had a lot of holdovers, you know, and so, you know, did they reach their peak? Some got better. What was the maximum? Maybe they reached their maximum. Then you win some. So then the expectations come. So it's like you could really, like, you know, reevaluate things, but then also guys got to take the bull by the horns and really step up. I mean, letting somebody push you around, that ain't on the coach. I'm sorry. I'm just straight up sorry. That's not. It's just not. If somebody comes in and just takes your wallet, what you gonna say? You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Like that's that is what you allow somebody to do when you step on the football field, mm-hmm. right? So let's just start with the non-negotiables right there. Player, coach, I guess if you want to say administration, all that. Let's just get our non-negotiables together, okay? Then we'll start pointing the fingers. Because if you handle that, you ain't got to worry about it. It's non-negotiables that need to be corrected. And it's more like development, like Amir Abdullah, Emmett Johnson, the amount of work that they put in outside of the stadium. You know what I mean? Like Grant Wisherman was just in here. The amount of work that he put in, and he was a five-star recruit. He was the USA Today Defensive Player of the Year. He was like the probably like in this day and age, he'd be a top 6-7 recruit.
Yeah.
All those guys, Mike Brown come in, high recruit, safety,
yeah.
worked his tail off. Everybody does it. It's just, right? And it's outside of football because when you're over there, you really can't dive into a lot of details when you're in there mm-hmm. because – that's where you got to put in the extra work outside of it. That's the separator. And so you got to get more guys that have come in. If you come in the portal, guys that understand that you got to still keep that edge on you, even though you're getting handsomely paid and at times for peasant results, but you also got to make sure to not lose your edge and not lose the edge of what got you here. Then that becomes infectious. Mm-hmm. So you know, you talk about bad cancers in the locker room, good cancers spread faster. Because good cancers make you look at bad cancers and don't even want to go close to them. Don't even respect them even later on in life. And that's where they got to get to. And sure, they got to maybe redo their blueprint, right? You could, like, they probably redid the blueprint over there at the Hampton Inn. Sure, I'm sure, because that building probably sat dormant for some while, right? Mm-hmm. So they probably got in there and the structure was at one and they're like, oh, that didn't pass that code. We got to readjust. You know, the venting system or the ventilation system based on something that happened on the other side of the building.
Yeah.
But they didn't blow the whole place up because we didn't see the cranes come here. So you mm-hmm. get, I mean, however analogy you want to look at it, you know, that's what you got to be able to do.
1171 on our Start a Human Jewelers text line. Who's the best quote unquote developmental team these days? You look at the top 10 in the playoff and none of them are development teams. I don't necessarily think that's fair. I think that if you look up and down, let's just say Ohio State's roster, Georgia's roster, because they've been good for a while. Jay, those are teams that recruit at a high level,
yeah.
that get a lot out of their talent and supplement out of the transfer portal.
Yeah, very you know, little supplement, too.
Right, when they need
a la carte.
Right. You know, carte. Here's a guy that wants to go play for a winning program. He's okay taking a year off to learn behind guys that are going to go get a shot in the NFL. Those are the kind of transfers these schools get. And of course, you know, you throw Will Howard into that mix for Ohio State as a transfer quarterback and kind of a bridge year for them. But that's kind of, again, the exception that proves the rule, because Ohio State did a good job developing its own guys. It's Justin Fields. It's Will Howard. Otherwise, mm-hmm. it's been Ohio State's guys for the most part that they've taken out of high school. Georgia's defense, very few transfers on there. Every team uses the transfer portal in some capacity, but I don't think it's fair to say, well, the college football playoff teams should just bought their teams. No, some of them, tech maybe.
There's always development in every player, no matter what, you know, your status is. I think when you're the Ohio State, when you have a long tradition, well, they have a standard that hasn't changed. Even when John Cooper was there and they ran him out of there, like they still had a standard. That's the reason why John Cooper put a lot of guys in the league.
Yeah.
For like Orlando Pace and all those guys. Mm-hmm. But he couldn't win against Michigan. And lost a lot of big games he shouldn't, right? In particular, remember back where it was a program changer for Nick Saban when they went in there with that Michigan State team and got their winning feeling. So they've had a standard of excellence, of winning, in having winners inside the building, outside of the building, that hasn't changed. Mm-hmm. So maybe two guys go off somewhere else. They don't have a lot of turnover. And Gene Smith has been there for a while and all those other guys, right? You got Archie Griffith involved. And so that – there's checkpoints before you get through the front door that hasn't changed.
Yeah.
And it will not change.
No.
That's part of it as well. But they still develop their players because there's a reason all the guys on this defense last year were backups, majority of them, besides Caleb Downs, one of the Styles brothers.
Sonny.
Yeah, that played last year. I'm talking about was a heavy producer.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Even Arvell Reese, you didn't really know about last year.
He didn't play much.
No.
Okay, then. So they developed.
They got better.
Right. So you still got to develop those guys. Now you're developing and you got more like-minded guys, right? So when they go there, but you got to get guys in that can really infuse that. Now, and there's two ways to attack this, really. If you have the guys in the locker room, like when I was playing, you had it, right? It was just, this is what we do. And if you didn't do it, you're either going to be cool with watching on the sidelines or you're probably going to be going transferring somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And it'll be always be something like that. And then you kind of, you slowly but surely build into it. Like Grant Wisher, when he went to the pros, he'd tell you it wasn't the one that came in, right? He had to learn the way. Same with me and everybody else. Same with Farley and everything else. That's, you have the guys that are policing it. Or you're going to have, you got to have enough guys, whether it's like former players, former coaches that are like your grunt work guys, that are doing that in the locker room and really holding their hand until the light goes on. Because when you don't know what you don't know and you think you're working hard or you think you have a standard, it's like, I remember when I first moved to Minnesota, I was going to, I did 7th and 8th grade. It was like, you know, whatever, Eden Prairie Middle School. We had this kid, man. And we actually ended up being friends. The dude was like, I used to call him like Ken and Barbie because he looked at, he was like the perfect looking white dude, you know, blonde hair, blue eyes, good looking dude. Always, you know, he had a high school girlfriend. He was like the dude and he always held
head
court.
Cheerleader. Sort of, yeah.
But he always held court at lunch. Ah. Right. Always just seemed on my favorite day when we used to get the square pizza day. Mm. And I used to trade my milk because I don't drink milk and with for pizzas.
You lactose? But,
yes, I am. I'll blow the top off of it. You talk about that. I'll blow that place up. But he would go in the lunchroom and he would flick the lights and it would be like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's right. So that means what I'm saying for the analogy for guys that don't know, it's on and off. They don't have the consistency yet. So you got to have people there to regulate them and say, no, that's not where you do things. No, you need to tighten up here. And so I don't know who's all on, like, you know, on the, you know, who he has on the, I know, you know who the coaches are. I'm talking about the guys that aren't the coaches that are there that can really make a big impact. That's how you catch up like that. Okay. You want an example?
Not more people, more of the right people.
Yeah. And here's an example. Okay. Like, you know, Maurice Claret, he kind of advises Ryan Day, helps him with stuff. Right, so it's brought a little bit more edge. Like Bobby Carpenter's in there, Ryan Fox is in there. My man, what was his name? James Cotton. You don't even know of him, right? He was up in Buffalo for a little while, but dude, hard nosed like a mug, right? You seen Kenny Peterson? I don't know. You saw the video with Kenny Peterson had to drag old boy out of the car. Like he's over there, right? He had his Ohio State issued stuff on there. He ain't playing no game,
nope.
Right? So those guys are in there. Doing their thing, going from there. So there's ways that you create leadership in this day and time. You got to have a little bit of everything because there's so many distractions. But, yeah, I mean, you know, developing. You develop faster on the field when you really develop off the field because then it becomes important to you, man.
Yeah.
When it's really important to you. And it's not when it's easy. Because football is hard, man. Sports are hard. They suck all the time. It's not fun. It's not. Football is fun when you win. It is fun when it, like, you enjoy it, you know, when you're playing.
But those 60 minutes probably aren't the most enjoyable experience.
Like, when it's winter conditioning, it's 30 degrees outside. You got to run. I think they do some stuff out in the snow. Then you got to think. Then you got to find a way to come back, get an extra workout in. You don't have any time. You're waking up at 6. You're not leaving there to 9. I mean, what? Where is the fun? Tell me where it's fun. So what's that? 12?
15 hours.
Yeah. As a 18, 19, 20-year-old kid, and there's no guarantee you're going to have success.
Right.
But the only guarantee is if you don't do it, you're not going to be successful. So where is the fun in that?
Fun's in the trophy case.
Right. Fun is playing. Fun is winning. Fun is accomplishing goals. Fun is seeing your teammates be successful as well. That's the fun. Getting the fun, God ain't make it like that, man.
No. Back to our starter, Heyman Jewelers text line, Texter 1100, who puts that mindset into players? I think Jay gave a pretty good rundown there, whether it's former players or Jay, this is, I think, maybe another underrated piece of development is identification. Who has what we're looking for? Who can grow into what we're looking for? a reason you go to the transfer portal is because you didn't identify correctly out of high school a lot of ways in a lot of situations. That's what Nebraska has to get better at as well. And every school can stand to always get better. There's never going to be 100% hit rate, right? It's impossible to know how someone is going to react into a new situation you've never seen them in before. But some places have done a better job projecting or knowing what traits they're looking for that correspond to success and are able to do it, you know, slightly more consistently, which is where I go back to, again, Nebraska, who do you want to be? What do you want to be about? Because if you keep deciding you're going to play this way or play that way, you're going to run this scheme or that scheme, you don't have that institutional knowledge built up for this is who we're looking for. This is what we're looking for. This is what I see in this young man or woman in a different program that is going to work at Nebraska or has a better shot to work than not. When you don't know what you're about or what you want to do, you just take whatever stands out to you as talent, just generally. Oh, this guy's a good football player. We can make it work.
Yeah,
it's where the fit is nebulous. Culture is a little nebulous, but I think it's there. And 1171 chimes back in. My point being, with as much roster turnover today in college sports, where'd it go? There we are. You don't need a developmental team. You need dudes. It's not X's and O's. It's Jimmy's and Joe's. Nebraska needs to spend the money to get dudes like Texas Tech and Ole Miss did.
Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This is Michael Rosenbaum. Hey, folks, let me tell you that drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that will change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober. Or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
Does Nebraska have that money? I don't know. Does Matt Rhule want to spend that money on players? I don't know. Mm. Matt Rhule wants to develop. Right. You can develop guys out of the transfer portal. But again, that's where I go back to. If you're going, when you go into the transfer portal, clearly getting these one-year guys hasn't necessarily worked. It hasn't been the return on investment. Yeah. If you're Nebraska and you want to be a developmental program in this day and age of college football, get guys from lower levels that have produced a little bit. Get guys with multiple years so you can really instill your system, your beliefs, your values, your culture, whatever, in them so that they set the standard. When the locker room turns over year after year, which it always does, there's no such thing as an identical team. But when you can mitigate the effects of turnover with enough holdovers in key positions, and here's this word again, developing the next generation of players into those standard setters, that's what it's going to take. Someone somewhere has to break the cycle.
Yeah, it's going to take a group of guys. I mean, I'll push back on the Jimmy's. Yeah, of course you need Jimmy's and Joe's. But Indiana develops players. Now they have probably a better system, and they're really they have a better idea of who they are, because Kirk Cignetti has a better wealth of knowledge of the up and coming FCS players, because that's where he was. Mm-hmm. You know, he's had to have eyes on the guys, and he knows who has good programs at that level. So he has, like, I call them recruiting watering holes, where mm-hmm. know you can go and get a player. And so it's a little bit different there. And so he quickly changed that identity, because he brought 13 guys that got in that locker room, and he's in what the message that he was saying was no different than what the players were saying. And those 13 guys were strategically placed in different position groups. And you had the same coaching staff that came over. So all the messages were the same. Mm-hmm. And sure, it's great this year for Texas Tech. Are they going to be able to go out there and get those same type of guys next year if they aren't seniors? because you know, I don't know if that Stanford has a guy that's in the portal that's going to get you 12 sacks. The portal is not going to be how you're going to win every single year. You're not going to be able to go buy you a team because the biggest thing that Texas Tech has done, and this is where you got to give Jerry McGuire, Coach. Show me. Hey,
he has shown you the money.
Hey, he was showing him the money, though.
Jerry, what's the difference?
You got to give Joey, no disrespect, but I was just saying, but you got to give Joey McGuire credit. He has got the guys, and he went and got them, but the continuity was already there.
And even spending money doesn't guarantee success. Right. We found guys that fit or at least conformed enough to the vision. They went out and played some good football.
And they bought in.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, they got paid. They knew they had a job to do. But part of the reason you pay that much money for those guys and you do it the right way is because the supporting guys around them was already there. Texas Tech won 8 or 9 games the year before.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like you know what I'm saying? So they had some guys there that actually in their league had produced.
Yeah.
Then you went and got that defensive line, and those guys were there, and their mindset was right. They took it like a badge of honor to do so.
Yeah.
And so those guys, along with Rodriguez and his homeboy number 13, that's your first and second level there.
Yeah.
So then it allows everybody else to play free.
Well, and if you're in Nebraska and you think it's as simple as throw money at it, we'll get these guys. Guess what? You're competing against these other schools.
They got money too.
Who have money too, and who right now have a better track record of helping to more success.
Yeah.
You need That's what you're competing
guys,
against.
You need your guys on the roster right now, the guys that are retained.
Mm-hmm.
Take it upon, like right now. And obviously, you know, they got either one or two practices, then they, you know, got a break. And that, like one, like this right now, if they had either got together, kicked back a couple brewskis or whatever they do, had some wings, and really say, this is what we are going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like they have to make a pack.
Yeah.
And understand they hadn't done enough. Those core guys. And then when you go get the other guys, they got to conform to the foundation that's here.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you look at it. You look at now Kirk Cignetti brought them in. So he planted them. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But everywhere else, like when Caleb Downs goes to Ohio State, he ain't telling you what we did at Alabama, mm-hmm. but it's his mindset.
Yeah.
Right. Will Howard, he's coming there.
This is what we did at Kansas State, right. Ohio State.
But he's coming in there and he's learning and he's developing and then he's bringing his attributes and he knows his role definition.
Yeah.
Now, it's not going to be a quick turnover. And you know, one of the developmental schools I always think about is like Iowa State. I know the offensive lineman that got drafted this year from there was a transfer, but he got developed over 2 years. I know one or both of the receivers, I think, were transfers, and at least one of them was. So it's what you do, you know, you got to get guys and you got to play. There's some guys you get that are out of the portal, the true developmental guys. Like, mm-hmm. All right, we got to put you on the shelf and get you right for a couple of years. But the guys you bring in got to hit. You can't end up like Dabo Sweeney when you got an NFL defensive line. They all play like they're in high school.
Right. Nebraska will never be 100% high school recruiting ever again. Nebraska won't be 100% transfer portal and completely askew high school recruiting. It's about finding a mix. It's about finding the right blend, the right personalities, the right traits that work together to maximize everyone. It's been done before, which is why we're still talking about why it hasn't been done at Nebraska. Speaking of transfers, a few players have announced their intention to transfer over the last 24 hours, yet they plan to make the bowl trip. How would head coach Jay Foreman handle that? We'll talk about that when we get back.
Back to old school with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back into this old school. We are talking plenty of football here. What's up, Coach Foreman? What's up?
Hey, I'm looking at the thing here. Let me see. Like, I know I got help through college. I didn't know. I helped myself.
Right? God helps those who?
There's a lot of people out there that helped me graduate from college, and they don't even know. Because they would probably be sitting watching me on Sundays. It was like, that dude right there was looking over my shoulder. I felt his presence.
I need my Kizak.
Yeah, I need my check. Hold on now. When I looked at this thing earlier that you sent me, I saw Brian Munson's name on here.
Okay, it was on here, but okay, but B Munts was he gave me a call, and he had some obligations arise. So we will talk to Brian Munson tomorrow at 3:30 instead. So yes, B Munson's name was on here, but fun conversation. We'll talk about that with him a little bit tomorrow. But right now, sorry to make you work another segment, Jay. Nebraska.
No, it's not about that. I don't like that you put me on a hot seat.
You're good. You signed your extension. We're not firing you. But different kind of hot seat. Three players have announced recently that they're set to transfer out of Nebraska. Right. Maverick Noonan on the defensive line, Marcus Davila at the quarterback position, and kicker Tristan Alvano. All three guys leaving for different but similar reasons down the line. But Jay, here's the interesting part. All three of those guys said, I'll be transferring after the bowl game. And of course, that makes sense given that the window opens 3 days after the bowl game on January 2nd. But hey, Coach Jay Foreman, these guys say they're transferring. Mm. You giving them a seat on the team plane? Are they home for the holidays?
You'd be at the crib. You definitely would be. You wouldn't be on the first plane. Like, I don't know if they do different. Like, you might come down with the band. They get the band going. You know how they do that?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's your ticket. Oh, wait, sorry. We switched it.
No, it ain't no switching. You would know.
I'm saying they'd give you like such short notice that I don't know if I can make it work.
No, I'll tell you like in the get go. I you know what I'm saying? It was, I would probably just me. Now, obviously, I probably had to say like, yeah, Doug, you coming down like with the families or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, if I was going to have you down at the bowl game, then it would, because when we get down there, this is me. And by no means, I'm not here to tell anybody what to do. I ain't getting paid to do that. So if it was me, when we get on that plane to go down there, we're going down there to tear some stuff up. Mm-hmm. And it's nothing against you, right? But these are the guys that are committed to 2026, I assume, or just haven't went in the portal yet. So I'm assuming, and I'm going to coach you, like we're in this together. Mm-hmm. And that's who I'm going down there with. Now, you know, and I think sometimes it might be administration rules and stuff like that. And you see guys like that. I think ASU, Kenny Dillingham allows them to do it. You know, my other big reason is the practice reps are a lot of times cut short. You're at bowl sites and you don't have the meeting rooms and all that. So I wouldn't say, but you want to make it's late in the season. You want to make the practice as physical as possible, but you don't need to be out there for a marathon practice.
Yeah.
So you're not going to get any reps. Mm-hmm. Period. I mean, why would I be giving you reps now if you want to come down there and be a scout team guy, then I guess it's different, but I would assume that you wouldn't want to put yourself at risk. I just probably wouldn't. I mean, at least not. I'm rolling down there with my guys.
I need to know who's in and who's out. I need to know that if you're going to be out there on the field for me, you're going to be all in.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of depends on what your philosophy is.
And that's why
I've seen a lot of coaches say that they can still, and I understand their point. Just for me, where we're at and a quarterback left and all that, you know, you ain't on that first plane. You come on the second one.
And that's where I think Matt Rule's input on this and his perspective are kind of key too, because think about the Marcos Davila example here, just announced today a few hours ago. It makes sense that he would transfer, whether it was his decision or it was made for him. Mm. His head coach just said, we're going to pursue some more mobile quarterbacks out of the transfer portal. Mm. That's not really Marcos Davila's game. So it makes sense. But if this was a Marcos Davila decision, dude, you're potentially one snap away from your first college action of any significance, right? We'll see if Latif is healthy or not. If it's not them, it's not not him, then it goes to Jalen Gramstad. And Gramstad hasn't played for a while. Maybe the first hit, something goes wrong. And who's next up? It's either you or Bodie Suka at this point, you know?
Yeah.
And
boy, you could make that could be a serious story. You come in there, you ain't played all year and you ball out.
It's the Miller Moss story.
Yeah.
Parlayed that into a starting job and then a transfer to Louisville down the line. I get why all of them are transferring. Mav Noonan, you know, snaps are few and far between. Tristan Alvano, fresh start candidate, kind of surprised he was still on the roster this year. Not the only, but one of the other reasons, Jay, I could see allowing those guys to come on the bowl trip is if you treat the bowl game like the end of 25 and not the start of 26.
If these guys were on the team
as a thank you for your contributions, hey, you know, maybe you didn't play snaps on the field, but you did contribute on scout team. You've been a good teammate, a good locker room presence. Because this is still the 2025 season, you were on this team. You're on the team still until you're gone. Make the trip.
And that's understanding. That's me. And I can deal with that. That'd be like a standard that you have. And I also think it's on an individual basis. If you're a bad teammate and you're a headache, you ain't coming to the bowl game. That's just me. You, first of all, even if you weren't transferring.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the bowl game is, you got to, you know, obviously you earned it on the field, but it's not just go down and you be a distraction. So I see it both ways. For me to remedy both of those scenarios.
Yeah.
Me getting hyper-focused and really setting the tone. We're going down early. These guys coming down late. Because I'm just going to assume they're not suiting up.
Right.
Right?
Why would you?
Yeah. The guys that, you know that. And, you know, you get all the bowl gifts and all that. So you just come down a few days later. Mm-hmm. Because we got to work.
Yeah. It's also interesting, Jay, because Matt Rhule's also said publicly that he likes to give guys the chance to get film, whether it's in practice or in a game, even if they're transferring, like especially in an exhibition game that's not meaningless, but closer to it.
Yeah.
You know, Mav Noonan, but played a few snaps toward the end of the year. Maybe he would have been a rotational piece. Or Marcus Davila, like I said, you know, one snap away, potentially, depending on how that shakes out, or maybe fourth quarter. Hey, we know you're transferring, but you haven't had much tape, so here, go play a quarter and put it out.
They might, you know, get them in the game. I mean, you just don't know what the philosophy is or what the thought process, because it could be you're having these meetings right now and you want to go in there and find out where you're at. And it's very unique, right? Because, okay, so Christian Alvino came here, had some injuries, never really kind of, and now I think he probably hopefully is healthy. Okay, you got a new special teams coach that has a different eye of what he wants as a kicker and specialist. And he probably wants to kick off and kick.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it, because he just mainly does kickoff now, I think mostly, and I don't know if he still does it. And then the same thing when you look at Maverick Noonan, right? You come in, I think he was a Frost recruit, right? I
believe so.
Right. And then, you know,
was he?
Or maybe
is he that old?
Well, then he was
early
rookie
rule, potentially. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Like, kind of, you know, he wasn't there on playing. So,
sure.
And then you got redshirt year, medical, or whatever. And then you change the defenses twice, right? Yeah. So really, he never really got to get going. Now, he probably has really good practice tape, which they all have. And so I do understand for them going in and finding where you're at, because they got to find, you know, he probably wants to play. And there's nothing wrong with that. So, you know, he's a good kid and obviously a legacy kid and all that. So you want to do right by him. So I do understand that. I mean, he's a great kid. Just probably, and that's the thing. Sometimes you can get caught in this, like, I call it the tidal wave of nothing under you're doing. You worked hard. You did everything you did. You made plays. And I think you even saw it in the first spring game when Rhule was here. He was playing a lot and making plays, and he got hurt. And then so now you kind of get out of the rotation, right? Mm-hmm. And then you go, it's no different than Kenneth Walker. He transferred from like Wake Forest or something. Same deal. Battled.
Yeah.
Got hurt, right? Goes to Michigan State. Now he's playing on Sunday. So I think it's kind of whatever your team philosophy is. For me, my philosophy is the guys that I know they're going to play, right? That I know that we committed. We've hopefully had these conversations and we know where guys are at. I'm assuming that's what they're doing now, right? Because you see all these other, they're making, like, I'm recommitting.
You've had 3.5 weeks to have meetings to figure out what you think.
Well, I think that's the way it's changed because of the portal. You want to know where you're at with the majority of the guys. Yeah. And you got to draw the line at some point in time. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not personal, but we got to go and we're rolling. And then you're still the other guys that can still roll. You're just rolling a little bit later because we got to get in. We got to get it on. Mm-hmm. But as far as the quarterback goes, he probably played his hand a little bit too quick. I mean, because TJ, nobody expected TJ to play. Here he is. Now he's hurt. Okay, you got Grahamstead. I'm assuming you're third.
Oh, you are third.
Right.
You got elevated.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're third.
You never know, dude.
You're one twinge. Grahamstead gets in, struggles a little bit. All right, let's see what this dude can do. They're getting real tape. So we'll see. I mean, it's a different world now. You know what I mean? As far as when guys go into portal, I mean, you know, I talked to Kenyatta Wright, and he was talking about, he's like, Jay, he's like, everybody knew when Gundy left, we were going to get a new coach. There's guys that went in the portal 3 weeks left of the season. He's like, I was sitting there begging guys, no, stay here, eat, lift, train, get practice tape. Yeah. Like, you're not going anywhere right now.
You're not helping yourself right now.
We know there's going to be turnover, but we're going to do, right? So mm-hmm. you just never know when, you know, people make, and plus I think when they do a lot of online classes, you know, you can be.
Well, there's no connection to campus.
Right, right. And that's part of the problem too, because if there's mm-hmm. connection to campus that you got to make sure that your grades are right in person, then you're going to be there. So if I'm there, you're in football, you're, you know, you're not going to, you know, your teammates are going to practice, you're going to go, versus if you're able to move back home and do it.
Yeah, another accountability layer as well, you know, professors.
Yeah.
So lots to get to as the vortex continues to spin and twirl. It'll be in full effect here in about 10 days. That's Jay Foreman. I'm Austin Norman. We'll wrap up hour one of Old School after this.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Wrapping up hour one of Old School, brought to you as always by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Some news from college volleyball over the weekend. Jay, it took a long time for the SEC to win a title. Kentucky got on the board a couple of years ago. It was an all SEC final down in Kansas City. Texas A&M sweeps Kentucky. So now third SEC school to win a title. Texas, of course, did win one
a couple years ago.
Now, so yeah, a lot of SEC flavor in the volleyball championship game over the last handful of years. Even though you lost to the champion, you know, doesn't take the sting out of the way it ended for Nebraska.
No, man, that's like whipped cream on horse doo-doo. But it does gives you a little bit of credibility that was the national championship in the quarterfinals, and they got hot. Texas A&M has been good all year, but they're playing they're playing their best volleyball right now. There were some circumstances out of Nebraska's control with the sickness and all that, and one young lady got hurt in practice, another one got hurt in warm-ups that, you know, worked against them. But so you tip your hat to them because they're champions, and they earned it and deserved it, and now you got to really figure out what the little things are or big things are that you got to address. So for a lot of these young ladies have been here for 3 years, 3 years of disappointment, mm-hmm. 3 years of success, but 3 years of disappointment, because the only thing that only one team is happy at the end of the year, that's the national champion. So they got to get in and get after it whenever they start back.
Shout out to Brent Wagner writing for the Lincoln Journal Star. So he points out that Nebraska didn't make the Final Four, but did beat the other three teams in the Final Four, Kentucky, Pitt, and Wisconsin in the regular season. And Jay, I do think that this is pretty unusual, but I think it does speak to how good people believe Nebraska to be. Nebraska loses in the Elite Eight. They're behind Texas A&M and Kentucky in the final AVCA poll.
Yeah.
Despite not making the Final Four, voters still recognized how good Nebraska was all year and said, yeah, that team, we got to reward the two that made the championship. But at the end of the day, we know how good Nebraska was.
Oh, yeah, and they know it. I mean, it's, you know, sometimes in sports, in championships, sometimes the best team doesn't win it. The team that's playing the best does. Mm-hmm. I always go back to when the Packers and Steelers, they were, you know, the number six seed and playing on a wild card weekend, they end up winning.
Yeah.
Heck, look at the, was it 16-0 or whatever the team was with Tom Brady?
Yeah. They 07
lose,
Patriots.
07, right. Mm-hmm. And they lose on a legendary play by David Tyree, mm-hmm. a play that, and then a walk off with Plaxico Burress.
Yeah.
That's probably, you know, that was the closest thing to being the best team of all time. And, you know, they're ringless.
2280 says A&M ended up beating three number one seeds. Yes, they did. They take down the Huskers, Pittsburgh, and Kentucky. First volleyball title in school history.
Now, do you think that's a bad seeding, though? Because when Nebraska had A&M in their bracket, everybody's like, oh, that's the team that could beat Nebraska. So if everybody's thinking that that's a team that would give Nebraska the most trouble, how the heck are they the number three seed?
They ended up
in our region.
The way it works, I don't know the exact particulars of it for volleyball, but I assume they use a similar S curve with some geography factored in, like the NCAA basketball tournaments generally do. Which means if you're Nebraska, the overall number one, you get the weakest two and the strongest three.
That's dumb. That's idiotic.
So you get 1, 8, 9, 16.
Yeah.
So that they all add up to the same value across the top 16.
Yeah, but there's not a big enough difference between the four number ones and essentially the number five or the number 16 if you get the strongest three or just number eight. So essentially, you get screwed over because you're going to beat the lower teams. That's almost a guarantee. Now you got the hardest match to get to the semifinal. If you're the number one overall team.
But the point is that you avoid number five, right? That's the point. If you're supposed to, if the bracket plays out perfectly.
Yeah.
You should, in the quarterfinals, have one versus eight. Because the way it's set up is the overall number one and the overall number four are on the same side.
Right.
So if the bracket works perfectly, the math makes sense. When the bracket doesn't work perfectly, that's when you run into that issue of, well, instead of the weakest two, it's the strongest three, and there's not much of a difference between the two.
Right. So then essentially, you could manipulate your regular season in order to be able to come through the back door a lot easier.
But at the end of the day, it's all up to the committee to determine.
Yes, but I just think if you are the overall number one seed, it should be held a high water for you not to be in the Final Four.
Oh, and it was. Yeah.
Texas A&M is the toughest matchup in that quarterfinals.
I don't think there's a conspiracy.
I don't think there's a conspiracy. I don't think. I just think it's wrong. I just think, why should the number one overall seed have the toughest match to get to the Final Four?
Because they're not supposed to.
So who was Texas A&M supposed to lose to?
Louisville, who is the weakest number two. If you do the S-curve, all the numbers, all the math should add up to the exact same number.
Yeah. I wasn't good at math.
Because if you think about every 16-team bracket, right, it should be 116, 18, 14, 12, 11.
Yeah.
All the way down.
Mm-hmm.
And so the path there is supposed to stair step gradually. The math should always work out, except when you have upsets, and then the way they S-curve it,
I got you.
Gets thrown to a loop. So too much math, too much thinking, enough numbers.
Money
Speaking
ball.
Of brackets, though, college football playoff. First round is in the books.
Man.
Half of a good weekend.
I'm going in on them. I like the... I ain't here for Cinderella. I'm done playing games. I don't believe in Santa Claus either.
Evil stepbrother Jay Foreman on the other side.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.